Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to us today. One of the most important moments of the president's news conference last night was the final question, and it was not about health care. It was not about foreign policy. It was not about the banking crisis. It came from Chicago Sun-Times reporter Lynn Sweet, and the president's answer, which we're going to hear, about Harvard Black Studies professor Henry Louis Gates's arrest while trying to get into his own home the other day. So we thought that since many of you would not have seen the news conference, that we would play the full question and answer now. It's about 3.5 minutes. And then talk about the issues raised by the incident. So we'll just let it roll and you'll hear it for yourself. Again, the first voice here is Chicago Sun-Times reporter Lynn Sweet.
Thank you, Mr. President. Recently, Professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. was arrested at his home in Cambridge. What does that incident say to you, and what does it say about race relations in America?
Well, I should say at the outset that Skip Gates is a friend, so I may be a little biased here. I don't know all the facts. What's been reported, though, is that the guy forgot his keys, jimmied his way to get into the house. A report called into the police station that there might be a burglary taking place. So far, so good, right? I mean, if I was trying to jigger into, well, I guess this is my house now, so it probably wouldn't happen. But let's say my old house in Chicago. Here I'd get shot. But so far, so good. They're reporting, the police are doing what they should, there's a call. They go investigate what happens. My understanding is, at that point, Professor Gates is already in his house. The police officer comes in. I'm sure there's some exchange of words, but my understanding is that Professor Gates then shows his ID to show that this is his house. And at that point, he gets arrested for disorderly conduct, charges which are later dropped. Now, I don't know, not having been there and not seeing all the facts, what role race played in that. But I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home. And number three, what I think we know separate and apart from this incident, is that there is a long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately. And that's just a fact. As you know, Lynn, when I was in the state legislature in Illinois, we worked on a racial profiling bill because there was indisputable evidence that blacks and Hispanics were being stopped disproportionately. And that is a sign, an example of how, you know, race remains a factor in the society. That doesn't lessen the incredible progress that has been made. I am standing here as testimony to the progress that's been made. And yet, the fact of the matter is that, you know, this still haunts us. And even when there are honest misunderstandings, the fact that blacks and Hispanics are picked up more frequently, and oftentimes for no cause, cast suspicion even when there is good cause. And that's why I think the more that we're working with local law enforcement to improve policing techniques so that we're eliminating potential bias, the safer everybody's going to be. All right? Thank you, everybody.
President Obama, that was the very end of last night's news conference. And with us now to discuss the Gates incident and the issues that it raises is Eric Adams. He's a New York State senator from Queens, former New York City police officer, and former head of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. Senator Adams, thanks so much for coming back on WNYC today. Good morning. Senator Adams, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay, that's great. And listeners, we want your calls on this. What are the issues that this incident raises for you and the president's response to it? 212-433-WNYC. Or get this conversation going on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Our phone number, 212-433-9692. Senator Adams, the police and Professor Gates have somewhat different versions of what happened at his home the other night. You certainly are not in a position to resolve them, but what's your best understanding?
Well, from what I understand, from based on the account that you received and probably your listeners just from what we read, is that they were responding to a call of a burglary. And when they arrived, Professor Gates was there. And of my knowledge, the last time I saw him, he had a cane. He walked with a sort of a limp. And I think that they thought it may have been a burglary.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They went on to investigate, and once he went inside, he ID'd himself, and he seemed to have been upset over what happened, and words were exchanged, and I think that led to his arrest, which I thought was an improper arrest.
What are proper police procedures in a case like that if the man who's innocent but being questioned as if he might be a burglar starts to talk back to you? What are the proper police procedures?
We use a term in policing called don't get hooked. And that means don't allow the aggravation of a civilian to cause you to take improper actions. You're a professional. You should understand that a person is going to get angry from time to time if they're stopped illegally, if they're searched illegally, if they're in their home, which is their safe haven. If they're in their home, they have a right to get upset. What a police shouldn't do is use his authority as a method of retaliatory action because he felt that the person was improper. And let me share this with you. From what I understood, he was arrested for disorderly conduct.
Correct.
Disorderly conduct is an act that a person is disorderly in a public place. Your home, Brian, is not your public place. Inside your home, you can yell, curse, scream, scratch, kick. As long as you don't touch the police officer, you can use vulgar language. That may be improper, but it's not illegal. And there's a real problem with this arrest.
Keith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Keith.
Yes, hello. You know, it's like it was really good to hear the president acknowledge something like this, not just any president, but, of course, this president, because I'm sure that in his past, you know, listening to his interviews, he's gone through something like that, maybe not the same thing. But as an African-American, as, you know, I am, this has happened. I think, you know, Mr. Adams, you mentioned that, you know, you've been profiled too. And, you know, there is a problem. There are a lot of cops that shouldn't be cops and a lot of cops who use this, you know, tactic. Especially with minorities as a sign of power, or it's racism or whatever. But I think that it is, unfortunately, it happened to Mr. Gates, but maybe I feel it needs to happen to people in that you know, status or, you know, strata.
Because this way it gets into the media and it gets brought to light.
Exactly.
Keith, thank you very much.
I believe the caller is 100% correct, because when you look at New York City, in New York City, we had over 500,000 young people stop, question, and frisk. Only a small percentage, I believe in the area of 19%, actually committed any form of crime. Many of them were petty offenses, such as having a joint or a small bag of marijuana.
Now, of course, the NYPD would say that that's a very different situation, and that those stops and frisks are quite intentional, because if they see somebody who they think may be acting like they're carrying a gun, then they're going to stop and frisk them just on the basis of that little bit of suspicion. And, of course, most of them will wind up not to have the gun. That's actually their M.O. So that's really a different category than this, isn't it?
No, it is not. And that is why it's important, because the public is not quite aware. What you just stated is illegal. A police officer can't stop someone because he believes they are carrying a gun.
Because he believes they may have acted in such a way as to indicate they may be carrying a gun?
Let me share this with you, Brian. There are two ways that you can do a stop, question, and frisk. And just as the Gates incident, there's two ways a police officer can respond to an incident. Either the public called him and stated that some type of crime was taking place, or the police officer is acting based on his own actions. In the cases in New York, the overwhelming number of the stop, question, and frisk was not based on a person committing any crime or thought of committing any crime. Police are now being told to go out and conduct a certain number of stop, question, and frisk. That is illegal, and that is why I think these problems are continuing, because the authorities who are responsible for making sure that actions like this aren't taking place, they're sleeping on the job.
State Senator Eric Adams, one of the founders of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement, when he was on the NYPD talking about the issues raised by the stop of Henry Louis Gates at his own home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the other day, commented on by the president at his news conference last night. Ray in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hi. Hello, Ray.
Thank you for taking my call this morning. I'm actually going to take a slightly different approach than your previous callers. I think it was actually very irresponsible of President Obama to make a statement about a case. I mean, he said himself, I don't know the specifics of this case. I mean, based on my readings of independent things out there, I think Professor Gates acted extremely arrogant. I mean, from what I understand, you know, the police had said, okay, fine, you're Henry Louis Gates, and they were leaving.
Arrogance is not arrogant.
And then he had to come out and started to, you know, say, you don't know who I am. And, I mean, keep in mind, I'm a person of color, you know, but he came out and said, you know, you don't know who I am, you don't know who you're dealing with, you know, acting arrogant as the police were leaving. And he kept going on very belligerently, and, you know, as well as I, that you got to keep your mouth shut when the police are
around. No, you don't, but let me interject for a moment, Cole, because I understand what you're saying, and after 22 years of policing, I've come in more than one contact with individuals who are irritated. It is not against the law to be arrogant. Police can't use their authority because they are upset. It is not a crime to be arrogant. It's maybe stupidity to be arrogant, but it's not a crime. If I arrested everyone that I gave a parking ticket to that called me a vulgar language, everyone that I told to move up the corner that said something discourteous, a whole lot of people would be in jail. What you must understand, it is not a crime to talk back to a police officer specifically in your home. If someone stopped you in your home and you felt that they did something wrong, there is a period of blowing off steam. This is a human behavior. You're in your home. This is the privacy of your home is the most precious thing to any American. So just because he was arrogant, just because he was boisterous, that is not a crime. There's no penal law definition of locking up a person because they're arrogant.
Ray, do you want to come back?
And I understand that. I just I've always adopted the policy of shut up and let it get done, and then you know, I mean, I would have reacted differently. And I just I understand that you would be very belligerent. I understand that you'd be very angry, but at the same time, you know, I learned early on every time you get police stopped by the police, you just don't say anything to get yourself in deeper hot water.
Right.
You know, I teach classes. When I was a police officer, I taught classes to communities on what to do when stopped by the police, because I believe there's a method to de-escalate situations. But in those cases where a person does not have the experience to de-escalate, it is not a crime. And we need to be clear on that. If we attempt to say that, well, a person can't vent, then that's a very gray area. The reason we identify crimes in our basic criminal procedure laws and penal laws is because police and other lay people and professionals need to understand the difference between venting and crossing the line to criminal behavior. He did not cross that line. The police knew he didn't cross the line. You can't use your authority as a payback. That is not what it's used for.
And the charges were dropped. Ray, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. Now, those charges have been dropped, but the officer is refusing Gates' demand that he apologize. So do you think this is to some degree, a racial difference in perception between two people of goodwill? Or do you think it's something less clean than that? Or do you just have no way of judging?
And I said this over and over again, even in the Omar Edwards shooting here in New York City, when an African-American was shot by responding police officers. Police officers did not create the racial stereotypes that exist in society, but they must police in them. I don't believe officers who responded were racist, but I do believe that all of us respond to the years of stereotypes and predispositions when we respond to anything. I think we have racial tendencies. I've made mistakes as police officers, and I'm an African-American. I have made mistakes with a person of color in responding to a job. So I can only believe that other white officers that don't have African-Americans that live next door or go to church with or what have you, in all possibility, they're going to make those same mistakes. We must start addressing how racial stereotypes and our thinking impacts on how we respond in law enforcement communities, or we will continue to have the Gates issues and the Omar Edwards issues and a countless number of other issues.
Here is Matthew calling from, I guess we might call it the scene of the non-crime, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning, Mr. Lehrer. I sometimes peek into your show on the Internet, and I was compelled to call today. This has been blown out of proportion. Nowhere in the media does it state that Mr. Gates did not produce one piece of identification that showed his address. He just told the police, and this is a fact here, I'll leave it at the fact that I am a civil servant here in the city. He just produced a Harvard ID, you know. And I guess nobody in law enforcement would believe that you're immune to burglary because you work for Harvard.
So and I agree with you, sir. Let me just interject
at
here.
At the time of his address, and there was an African-American present, you can clearly see it in the newspapers, the man did not produce any type of identification with his address on it.
Okay.
So the police are compelled to acknowledge a call, which they received the call. They weren't driving by, and they didn't see a black man breaking into a house. They responded to a call, and they took him away. And the man was all upset and very abusive to the police officers.
Senator Adams, go ahead.
Okay, because it's important. Whenever you deal with these cases, you need to investigate them with dealing with the facts. They would have arrested him based on they didn't believe his identity, on the fact he didn't produce anything with his address, and they had to continue their investigation. Then I said, I will applaud them. They did their job. That's not why they arrested him. They were about to leave the place. They were leaving his home. They arrested him because they stated he was loud and boisterous. That's not a crime. So if the reason they arrested him and they articulated that we looked at his identification, he didn't have any identification with his address on it, that's a proper arrest to continue an investigation. Why they arrested him, based on the reports that I read, and unless there's something different, I would like to be told, based on what I read, they arrested him after they were leaving the scene, and he continued to be loud in his own home. That is not a crime.
Well, you will see that everybody made this into a racial stink. The man, at the point, everybody in this neighborhood knows that he couldn't verify at that moment where he lived. And he became abusive and frustrated.
But, sir, that wasn't my question. My question is, did they arrest him because he was abusive, or did they arrest him because he didn't have the proper ID? What was the reason they arrested him?
They arrested him because they responded to a call of a break-in. The police saw a man breaking into a door, forcing a door.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, he told the police, I live here. And the police
mm-hmm.
says, show me identification with your
mm-hmm.
address on it, a driver's license. Anything.
Right, but my understanding, Matthew, I just don't want to go around in circles, but my understanding from what I read in the media, and I guess it's Senator Adams' impression too, is that he had already satisfied the police officer that it was his home and he was legitimately there. And so he wasn't taken in on suspicion of breaking and entering. He was taken in specifically for disorderly conduct because of his behavior toward the officers. And I understand the issue that you're raising about ID with your address, since the address is the issue. But I just don't believe that that's why he was arrested.
Well, Brian, you can't walk away from somebody who you actually cut some slack with by the fact that he didn't show where he lived, and they cut him some slack, and while he walked away, he became abusive and cursed at them. And then
yes,
they suspected
yes,
this guy yeah. could be a real burglar.
Okay, but what you felt then, this is the problem. As a police officer, it's not my job to say I'm not walking away because I cut somebody's slack. If they, again, I want to just say this again. If they would have arrested him to continue their investigation, I would lead the charge of saying those officers conducted themselves in a proper fashion. But officers cannot use their authority because someone was loud and boisterous
right.
to say, I cut you slack, but now I'm going to lock you up. They locked him up for disorderly conduct. Let's be clear on that.
Matthew, thank you for your call. And we're just about out of time, Eric Adams. But what's the lesson for people much more vulnerable than Skip Gates? And I'm thinking young black inner-city males who risk getting treated much worse than he did if they seem to be talking back to the police in any way. We know the consequences can be much, much worse.
I think it's threefold. I think, number one, our schools and others and nonprofit organizations need to train young people and adults on what is the proper way of conflict resolution to de-escalate tension between law enforcement and civilian. Law enforcement are trying to do their job, but at the same time, civilians have the right to walk the streets with some level of safety. Two, those cases where there is a pattern of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, arrest situation and no other underlying crime, you need to investigate those officers. Those are red flags and telltale signs that someone is abusing their authority. And lastly, we have to constantly be in a state of retraining officers. Officers don't have to be racist to respond based on race. And that's what I believe people mix up too often. This officer is not necessarily a racist, but when we respond to scenes, we do respond based on race.
Former founder or founder at one time of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement when he was on the NYPD, now a state senator from Queens, Eric Adams, talking about the issues raised in the Henry Louis Gates arrest and President Obama addressing it in his news conference last night. Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. More to come. By the way, if you're into multitasking, you can go over to our website, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, where a live online chat is still going on with Nick Corcadillis from AskTheHeadHunter.com. If you want job-seeking advice, that live online chat, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, happening right now.